This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Joining me now on our first Advantage Hotline is the Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, man, you got to be feeling pretty good about yourself here. I think most of how you kind of ranked or rated the chances, the percentage chance of these guys coming back for CSU basketball, I think you're kind of leaning in the positive on this so far, man.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good hitting percentage on that one. That's one of those situations. Had a few birdies in the year, you know, giving me some hints on what might be happening, but, you know, wasn't 100% locked down, so I had to hedge the bets a little bit. But, yeah, it's looking like Colorado State is returning the vast majority of the rotation for next season.
Obviously, the biggest name was Kyle Jorgensen, and once he came back, you have to wonder if that helped with other guys in their decision. I don't know, but I know that was the big one. But what, you know, obviously the leap he made from his freshman year to his sophomore year. I mean, we got to expect great things from this guy, especially coming back to play with Ali.
Yeah, totally. Especially that non-conference was really, really impressive. When he came back, you know, I think he's, you know, one, he was coming back from injury, which is hard. You know, it's hard to ever pinpoint, you know, he's probably the only person in the world that could pinpoint how much the injury maybe impacted him. But obviously he also came back and CSU was struggling a bit and all that. But he still put up pretty nice numbers. And if you look at just the raw leap from freshman to sophomore year, it's really good. So great signs for CSU. You know, another guy that, you know, another year of, you know, summer in the weight room, you know, staying in the same system. I think all of that is just going to bode really well for him. And yeah, he was the centerpiece of what his decision meant for the offseason. Because if he left, you know, it's one player, but it would change what Ali Frohkmanesh and staff were going to have to do this summer.
Yeah, that was like centerpiece, really, for this team. And then you started to see the other names hit. You know, Kerry Booth, who you were confident would return. He's traveled quite a bit, you know, in his college career. So for him to be able to settle down and stay under CSU, I mean, that speaks well to, I think, what Ali does with these guys, that they were really good in high school, maybe just didn't quite reach their full potential, but they play with Ali and they take another step.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping so many guys is a great sign for CSU, great sign for Ali Frohkmanesh. You know, I think, like you said, it speaks well to him, and it, you know, I think you can start building excitement for next season right away now.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado one. Okay, so Jace Butler's coming back. JoJo McIver, I want to talk about him too. Rashawn Bemba coming back as well. Will he be like coming back more in that reserve role? We did see, obviously, games where he started at the beginning of the season. They were together sometimes, but then ultimately it was Kyle Jorgensen. So for him to kind of be cool with potentially what that could look like, I think, is also fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, we look at it. You know, there's some things you can do. You can tinker around, but I can't see them moving Kerry Booth to the bench, and certainly can't see them moving Kyle Jorgensen to the bench. So, yeah, I think it's probably most likely that Bemba comes off the bench, but I think that's a huge piece. You know, I want to say Bemba's divisive among the fans. That's far too strong a word, but there are some that kind of grouse and, you know, think he doesn't do enough. But he's just a guy that, don't look at numbers. He's not built on numbers. That's not what his game is. He brings a physicality, a defensive mindset, a leadership. There were a lot of times this year you would see him. He's an animated guy, be pretty animated on the court with players. And he just knows the system, obviously, inside and out as well. So it's a lot of things that go beyond the numbers. I think it's huge to have him back.
Yeah, absolutely. With JoJo McIver coming back, and obviously this goes into The one I think you expected with Brandon Recksteiner transferring out, obviously this opens up a path for JoJo to start at point guard. But for Recksteiner, what was it that you're hearing, Kevin? Money? I mean, I'm guessing there was a lot of money involved for him. He was a good player, but sometimes we see the money kind of almost be a little too high in some cases. We'll see what happens. But what went into that decision, you think?
Yeah, I'm super fascinated to see where he goes. You know, that's one I'd been hearing for a few weeks maybe could be possible. And he's a guy, good player, I think, good to very good player, great shooter. But I think it maybe is best for both parties. I think he'll be able to, go get a bag somewhere. Bag meaning money, probably have a chance to play again at the P4 level. And for CSU, he wasn't an awful point guard by any means, but he certainly had some struggles against certain defenses and whatnot. So I think CSU, pretty clearly that NIT game, JoJo McIver played pretty much the whole second half while Recksteiner was on the bench. That seemed to be a pretty clear indication of what's coming moving forward. So, yeah, I think you go now to a more traditional point guard in JoJo McIver. And I also kept saying and writing that felt like you wouldn't bring back both Pascarelli and Recksteiner because I think you need them to be in a shooting guard role. But, again, obviously there wouldn't be enough time or shots for both of them. So Recksteiner leaving, is kind of paired with Pascarelli coming back. So I think what they've added or kept or lost all makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it does. And you never got to meet Papa Pump, Kevin. I mean, that's the bummer
that
of this whole thing. You never got to meet Scott Steiner.
For you. Yeah, big bummer for you, probably more significantly.
Well, we tried to get him on the show a couple of times, Kevin, but then we were referred to an agent, and I'm like, that usually means they're going to want us to pay for it. And I love Scott Steiner, but I don't think we're going to pay for that, Kevin. I'm not sure, but we're just probably not going to do that.
That is probably fair.
JoJo McIver, though, big opportunity for him. This is a dude, you and I have both said this, just talking to him and the way he kind of moves out there, certainly, this is crazy praise because Isaiah Stevens is one of the greatest Rams of all time across all sports. But, I mean, if there is a guy to maybe have a chance to be that caliber of player, it could be JoJo McIver. His defensive abilities there. What's he missing to become that real, that complete player next season?
Yeah, a lot of it, just that composure and especially game experience composure, on the ball. He would get sped up at times, which, again, is normal. I think JoJo's a perfect example of how Isaiah ruined CSU fans.
Yeah.
I mean that somewhat jokingly, but also very realistically, of what he did is not normal. Him playing so veteran-like as a freshman was not normal. And also, as Nika Medved would remind us sometimes of, like, hey, guys, love Isaiah, but he also wasn't perfect as a freshman either. He would throw it into the seventh row sometimes too. So JoJo has a lot. There's some fans that for some reason don't seem to feel it's there. But, man, I talk to a lot of people that know a heck of a lot more basketball about me, about basketball than I do, and they rave about this kid. Both the intangibles, work ethic, how he is in the locker room, all that. Elite defender, I think already last year he was a good perimeter defender. I think he has a chance to be absolutely elite. And then we would see in flashes. I mean, he can get in the paint. He had some pretty nice passes. He has good vision. The shot looks fine. The numbers weren't amazing, but I think those will go up. I think he's going to be good. And an interesting thing I found, I looked at his freshman numbers compared to Kyle Jorgensen's. Now, obviously, totally different roles, different in what they try and do, but they played about the same amount of minutes as freshmen. Their overall numbers were pretty similar. And, look at the leap Josh, because Josh Pascarelli also just said he's coming back. But Kyle Jorgensen, the leap he made from freshman to sophomore year, I think JoJo could be in line for something similar. I'm not saying he's going to be scoring 29 points in games like Jorgensen was, because that's not going to be his role. But I think he's a guy that's going to look way different in November this upcoming season than he did, this season.
Well, and with Ollie's track record, whether it's as a head coach with the 1-year sample size or even as an assistant, we've seen him take guys and really make that jump. The most recent, you're talking about, what we already mentioned, Kerry Booth, but Kyle Jorgensen too.
Yeah, exactly. They just, player development at CSU under this staff, it's just been really good. I mean, there's a track record of it. So I think when they tell you they think a player can make a big jump, you have to at least listen to it and see what happens, because they've proven it can happen.
Kevin, you mentioned it, Josh Pascarelli, recent news there. He is, in fact, coming back. That was the one we were kind of wondering about. You put your list out, who's transferring or who's staying, who's transferring out, and Josh had not yet hit that. I know that'll be updated now, but Josh Pascarelli, how big is that for CSU?
Yeah, I think it's significant. He's, again, somewhat like Jorgensen, he struggled a bit later on. I think especially when Jorgensen went down, Pascarelli then became the focus for opposing defenses, and that's hard. It was his first Mountain West season, which is a level up from where he had been at Marist. But then obviously he had the injury late in the season, which kind of derailed the end of things. But the guy is a pure shooter. I mean, he's now played 3 years in college and is a 40-some percent three-point shooter. So, you just can't ignore that. He's another, kind of like you were asking about Bimbo, what's his role going to be? I can't see Jace Butler going to the bench, given how he progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Amando Miller, who they just added in the portal, he's an intriguing, guard wing option. Does he maybe start? So could Pascarelli be, kind of a bench sharpshooter, which, maybe could fit really well. But another guy that I think is a good player and a good piece, and we'll see, exactly where he fits in.
One of the guys I was kind of shocked to see transferring out, Kevin, was Darnes Slater. He looked like, he didn't get a ton of minutes, but he looked like one of those project guys that maybe in a year or two we're going to be discussing his name a little bit longer, because he could maybe become a player. So I was kind of shocked. We talk about all this, development under Ali Farokmanesh. That one stunned me.
Yeah, that's one of those tough ones that I wonder if it's somewhat a matter of circumstances of today's college sports. Like, you don't, Rashawn Bimba is a 4 years at one school guy now, which is wild. In a previous iteration of college basketball, would a guy like Darnes have done, exactly that, redshirt as a freshman, play a few minutes as a redshirt freshman, which is what he did this year, play a few more as a redshirt sophomore, then, maybe redshirt junior, you become the guy. That would have been the path in, 2005, we'll call it. But now, for both parties, you can kind of start looking elsewhere. From Darnes' side, you could certainly see he played, I think it was like 150 minutes this season, so not a lot. He had the one really big impact game at UNLV, but, didn't play a ton. And then from the CSU side, I mean, it's a winning business. I'm not saying Ali Farokmanesh is under any job pressure, but, the longer you go without making a postseason, the more the NCAA tournament, the more pressure rises. They know they have a great roster and need to make sure they win next year. So maybe, I can totally see how that conversation was, I just don't see many minutes for you next season. And so for maybe both parties, you go the other way, because, we talked JoJo and obviously his role, Pops Dunson coming in from Georgia. I keep hearing great things about him as well. He's a two-time state champ. I'm told that they expect he will be playing next season. So he's probably your backup point guard, and, they may still go get some type of guard in the portal. So it's, again, just the pressure of needing to win. Maybe it just served both parties for Darnes to go. But I agree with you. I think I wrote this at the end of the season. There's a player in there. He's going to be a good college basketball player. It just might be elsewhere.
Yeah. Kevin, tell us, you mentioned him a little bit earlier, but tell us more on what you know about one of the transfers coming in Amando Miller.
Yeah, this was the piece we knew they would need to go get, that wing player. It was the Nate Clifford role, then it was the Jevin Mooney's role. Now it's the Mondo Miller role, sort of. He's a guard, he's a forward, he's a wing, he's whatever you want to be. He was at Lubbock Christian the past two seasons. He averaged 21 points, 8 point something rebounds, like 3 or 4 assists a game. He was a D2 All-American. Really, really huge season. But he's a guy that, again, kind of a non-traditional path. He started at Colorado. I don't know if CSU has ever signed a former Colorado wing player that became good. I don't know, Nick Clifford. Started there, you know, he played with Clifford there and, you know, didn't really play much. Went to Fort Lewis, where he actually played with Charlie Dortch, CSU's walk-on from Fort Collins. Then went to Lubbock Christian and has now played his way kind of back up to the, you know, the Division One level. So he's a guy, don't expect 21 points per game like he did at Lubbock Christian, but I know CSU staff thinks that, and, you know, guys they've had from this level, that rebounding always translates. And so a guy that averaged, you know, 8 rebounds a game is going to really help them in that role. And I think that's one of the things, you know, maybe they were missing this year of, you have your bigs, and, you know, obviously it's important for them to rebound. But CSU's best rebounding teams have come when they have a good wing to come flying in and grab those, you know, again, which is what Nick Clifford did at, you know, an NBA level. Not saying Amando Miller is going to be NBA level there, but he should be a really good rebounder and do a lot of things well. So, yeah, he's a guy that I think will see the floor a lot for CSU.
Well, job well done by Coach Ali Faroukmanesh, retaining most of this core, and excellent work from you as always. And a nice write-up, too, your end-of-season interview with Coach Faroukmanesh as well. That is very interesting. It's fun to follow, you know, document his career, man. It's special getting to see his first job as a head coach and kind of follow that here at CSU.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I appreciate, you know, he's pretty open about, you know, his ups and downs of learning as a coach. You know, it's not just, oh, you know, I've been assistant, I know how to do this. He's very open of, you know, what he's learning and everything. So, yeah, I hope people go check that out. I thought it was some insightful comments from Ali.
No question, man. Kevin, appreciate you jumping on with us on this Monday, and we'll catch up with you later this week.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our CSU Rams insider. Strongly suggest you subscribe to the Colorado, and if you are a Rams fan, wonderful article. An end-of-season kind of interview, review Kevin had with Coach Faroukmanesh. 11:52 the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up this hour. Top stories of the day. We've got college sports. Stuff's moving, right? Executive orders being placed. Do these orders have any real teeth? And we'll talk about that probably a lot in detail with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up as well. Keep it here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Gel. We'll be right back.
Will the Nuggets get bounced in the first round, or will they make a serious run this postseason? Find out with us and listen to every game on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.